continue with the Tanya, with the commentary of the Chassidus Mevo'eres. We're on Perek Zayin. In our text, it's page Resh Ayin Ches, right at the top of the commentary, below the line. We've been talking about the Klipas Nolga, and how if we eat things for our taivas, or do anything in life because of our taivas, then those items, as a matter of fact, even our actions, which are all our animalistic actions, which are all focused around the, that all are in the state of Klipas Noga, that Klipa unfortunately descends into the world of the three Klipas of extreme Tuma. And on the other hand, if we do tshuva and we return to Avodas Hashem, then they all get released and they can be elevated again. That's how we ended off last week. He explains now on page Resh Ayin Ches beautiful terminology that we apply in halacha, that now he gives us the mystic understanding between these two halachic terms. So the Tanya continues, Shezel Lashon Heter Umutter. This is the expression when the Gemara and the Halacha use the terms Heter and Mutar, which means allowed or permissible. Klomar, meaning to say, She'ena Kashur Va'asur. It is not tied and prohibited. Bidei Hachitzonim, through the externals. Shlo Yucha Lachzuv Hashem, that is not able to return to Hashem. Those are the words of the Tanya. And the Chassidus Mevo'eres now explains. Isur, the word Isur, which we translate as forbidden, Asur, it's not allowed, forbidden. Really, the root of the word is we say, for example, in the morning blessings, Matir Asurim. Okay, what does Matir Asurim mean in the bracha? Hashem frees those, he unties those that are bound up. Meaning those that are, he releases people from prison. But the literal word means matir asurim. He unties that which is prohibited. That which is tied up. That which is tied up. So just like when you get up in the morning, you know, before you get up, you're kind of tied up to your bed. When you're asleep, you can't move. You're tied up. You wake up. I can get out of bed. I'm not paralyzed. It's a person who's paralyzed. That's someone who's asur. He's tied down. He can't move. So Hashem is matir asurim. He frees. He unties those that are tied up. So the word asur, isur, really means tied down. And he gives a pasuk in Shoftim, kmo yasruni bavosas chavolim. That's what Shimshon said, you know, try to tie me down with thick ropes. So yasruni, asur, means tied down. Haino hadover, that means, so if something is usur for you to eat, forbidden for you to eat, haino shadover kashur va'usur, it is tied up on the one hand. The heter, when we use the expression heter or mutar, it is permitted, perusha, the meaning issue, mutar, meaning it is untied. Haino she'eno kashur va'usur, it is not tied and bound. For example, we have a Mishnah in Shabbos, talks about prohibited malachas on Shabbos. It's called kosher umatir. Kosher matir. You tie umatir and you untie. Or as I explained, matir asurim. Same idea. Okay, so that's the etymological roots of the words asur and mutar. Tied up and untied. Now, how does that affect us? Well, in the concept is the following. Lashon heter or mutar. When we use the expression heter mutar or lashon iser v'asur, when we use those expressions, shishtam shvarazal, the rabbis use these, bikfias elu dvorim ha'odim rashoy la'asosum v'elein rashoy. When the rabbis establish if something is permitted to be done or not permitted to be done, they use those words, mutar and asur, untied and tied. Hulorak b'yachas agar, it's not only speaking in relation to the human being, if the human being is mutar, permitted to do it, or asur, or not permitted to do it. Elagam teor, or he's tied that he can't do it, or he's untied he can do it. Elagam teor hachefts, it also describes the items, the things. Lahoras es matzav hachius shel ramelu. It's describing the spiritual reality condition of these things. When we say it is usur to eat pig, we're talking about the spiritual condition of a pig that is tied down spiritually, and it will never be able to activate anything spiritually good in your life. If it is mutar to eat it, means it is untied, and there is a way for you to give that thing the kedusha that it could achieve.
The potential.
So he continues. Dover, so let's look at footnote 49. So atochan apnimi biyisurei haTorah. This is the inner meaning of when it says the Torah says things are asur. Shem isur chevtza. That they are this is an isur on the chevtza. Chevtza, there's two Talmudic terms, chevtza and gavra. Chevtza means the item, gavra means the person. And that's always the great brisker ways of looking at Gemaras and Shilas, is the isur in the chevtza, is in the gavra, is in the item, is in the person, etc., etc., which I'm not going to get into. But those, that's the term he's calling it, the isur chevtza, the item. Okay, this, when the Torah says that's isur chevtza, shedover isur hu. Shedavar iser hu chayfetz misuav, something that is asur, that is it is a disgusting, loathsome object. Not besides the fact, it says in the brackets, that there's a prohibition on the person to use it as well. In other words, when we say it's asur for you to eat pig, there's two things going on over here. Number one, there's a prohibition on you not to eat it. Number two, that thing is asur for you to eat. I can say it two ways. It's usur for you to eat that food, which means I can't eat it, but it's also, the item is usur. The item is usur for you to eat it. It's tied down and you cannot eat it. Because something's usur, the essential life force of it is it's enwrapped in the three klipos that will never release the kedusha of a godly force that's in it, and there's nothing good will ever come out of it. Lachena chayfetz, and therefore the item itself, aser v'kasher b'diachitzonim. It's tied down, through external things, which are the three bad klipas. Okay, so that's very important. So nothing good is ever going to come out of these things. They're never going to be, the kedusha will never be released. At least in our times. In our times. Ultimately, everything will be released.
Rabbi, would that differentiate between something that's not permitted at a certain time versus something that's never permitted? For example...
So we'll see. We'll see. He talks about it. So one of the footnotes talks about it.
Bring it with red on Pesach.
Yes. One of the footnotes talks about it. He did talk about it. And we mentioned that. We mentioned that back in footnote 43. We talked about it two weeks ago. So there is a difference. But we can't go back to that right now. Okay, now, next part in the Chassid Mevoaris. Dover Asur, what's a Dover Asur? Hachiyashul Asuro. Its life force is tied up. Asur Kshur B'deach Itzonim. Which is what? The klipas that are outside the boundary of the kedusha. In the pig, there's a godly force in the pig, giving the pig life force. But that godly life force is totally tied down by the three klipas noga that will never allow in this world a release of the kedusha there. Like a person found in jail. In a way that you can never elevate the life force from there into kedusha, as he's going to explain further on again. Mashekin davishu mutar, something that is untied. So chiyuso is life force. The godly force, ain't a kshur v'sur, it's not tied down and prohibited. B'deachetzonos through the outside forces. Elochei nikra, heter. It's called heter, permissible. And untied. Ulefikach nitan lahalos es achiyash b'dvarim amutarim l'kdusha al-yidei she'oskim l'hem l'shem shvarim. Therefore you can, it's possible to elevate that godly force in those untied things to holiness. How? By engaging it and using it for the sake of heaven. Zos v'od, and this and more. Afim nasim hem shimush l'shem taiva. Now let's go back to what the main topic has been for the last couple of weeks. And if you use these things that are mutar, that are untied, and you're using it for the sake of what? Of pure taiva, you're taking kosher ice cream, kosher milk, that's been turned into, fancy kosher Chol Yisrael ice cream, and you're eating it purely for taiva, purely for taiva. Now the godly force in that milk was able, it was able to be elevated in a holy way, but you didn't. And now it's gone down to the three unholy klipas. They still are untied. They still can be returned to Kedusha when a person goes back and does Avodas Hashem. Because they're essentially they're untied. They're not tied down by the externals. The holy sparks are able to be freed from the three unholy klipas and can return to Kedusha. In other words, let's say it in a simpler term. Once the things that are asur, it's like life imprisonment. They've been from inception. These things have a lifetime imprisonment, can never see the light of day of Kedusha. On the other hand, all these things that are kosher, and they're mutar, they're untied. You can use it. Once you use it, shelo l'shem shamayim, then they've become imprisoned, but with possibility of parole. And how do you parole it? Good behavior. What's the good behavior? You change all your behavior. And you start living l'shem shemayim. Now you can take them out. So no matter how much of a chazer you've been in your life for kosher food, and I'm not talking about unkosher food, we'll have to talk about that. We've already said that's a bigger problem, much bigger problem. But we're talking about kosher food and any kosher activity, so to speak. Not just eating food here, it's any taiva you have. Anything you've done in this world as a taiva, okay? Spending excess money on taivas, etc., etc. It can be returned if you do tshuva shlema.
Retroactive.
Retroactive. Those sparks. We'll see. We're not done with you, but at least those items, all that milk that has been eaten for taiva and is trapped in the three klipas nova, you're entitled to either, you want to call it parole, you know, or good, or jailbreak, however you want to learn it. Parole is better terms, more legal. So it's been paroled, and now it goes out. So all those things, and not only that, but don't forget, it's your body too. When your body is engaged, your physical body has been engaged in fressing away, your body is now caught in the klipas, the three bad klipas. So you want to escape from that. You escape from that from complete tshuva. But it's not so simple, because even that isn't going to be enough. Why? Let's continue. Resh Ayin Tes, back to the words of the Balatanya. Raksha harishimu mimenu nishir baguf. But the mark, the impression of what has happened negatively remains in the body. Therefore the body needs what is called chibut hakever, which will be explained in a moment. Which he will explain in greater detail in Perches, but here the Chassidus Mervez will give you a little bit of explanation. Even though the person who was fressing and zoifing, who was fulfilling his taivas, he can bring back and elevate the life force to holiness. Also, even though its life force goes up to Hashem, but still nishar rishimo, there's still a imprint, an impression, beguf, in your body. Mikach, from this, shahoysa bikir bochius mishol shaklibus atmeus. Because it had, even temporarily, it was sustained and incarcerated by the three klipas noga. Your body was incarcerated. In other words, let us say, for example, a person, I understand there's a movie now that's going out of a person who was falsely accused of a crime of murder, and he's in jail. and the sister's making her lifetime work to get him out of jail. Okay? And he's in jail, I think, for 18 years. I don't know. I just heard about it. So anyway, imagine, the guy was not guilty. And he's in jail for 18 years. You're going to tell me the guy comes out of jail after 18 years normal? Living in prison? What happens to the guy being with all that chevra of real murderers, real bad guys? You live with them for 18 years. What's it going to do to you? It makes a mark, makes an impression. So now you're free. You're paroled after 18 years. So fine. Everything's good? No. The impressions are still there. You're not incarcerated, but the impression is still there. Holocaust survivors. Look, those who came out of the concentration camp. They came out normal. They're free. You can do whatever you want now. But they came out normal. There wasn't an impression on them. So the same thing, if you allowed yourself, because your body is a klipas noga. Your animalistic soul and your body is a klipas noga. And you allowed your klipas noga by fressing and zoifing to become incarcerated by the three negative klipas. So you think it made a mark on you? And therefore, that mark, Baruch Hashem, at least can be removed, ultimately. Okay, therefore, la'achrei moso, after your death, tzorech haguf la'avor chibud hagever, the body must pass through what is called chibud hakever. And he explains it in the brackets, perush, malachim choftim umenarim eskufo, whatever this means, the angels beat and shake out your body, like a blanket that's full of dust. You take the old-fashioned, remember the old-fashioned blankets, you hung it up on the line and smash them to get all the dust out of that. So that's exactly what's going to happen to your body. That's what happens. The body is still part of you. And that body's got to be knocked out, all the residue of the klipas noga, the impression of the klipas noga. Achan keres man is klipa legami until solely removed. Kavisha b'alakam, which we fully explain in Perikhes, which we're not going to explain now. And as well, in Perikhes, he's going to explain why the mark on the body stays even after the person did tshuva to serve Hashem. They will all be explained in the Perikhes. That's, the question is, I've done tshuva. And we said, by tshuva, I've released a lot of things. Why haven't I released it from my body? That's going to be explained later on in footnote 17 in Perikhes. So you're not off the hook totally just by doing tshuva from being a fresser, because it's made its impression. Now it's saying, so why bother? It's good to bother, because if you don't do tshuva on it, then your whole life is caught up by the klipas noga. The impression is there, right? But you can get out of jail. Who would, out of his right mind, we want to stay in jail? And that's exactly what it is. What does it mean when a person says, you know, Rabbi, I really would like to stop, but I can't. Why can't you? You have free will choice. You know it's wrong. Because I'm captured by the klipas noga. That's what the klipas noga is. It's captured me. I can't, I will always be a fresser and zoifer. That's what you think. But there still is tshuva. It's very hard.
Bad habits are hard to break.
Hard, not impossible. Your life is meant to be a difficult, hard life, not an impossible life. If it's easy to break it, what should God reward you for? I don't understand. People, nowadays, people like to get paid for not working very much. It's a new ethic that's different than 50 years ago. 50 years ago, it was a concept of an honest day's pay for an honest day's work. Now it's extra pay for no work.
Leisure.
Like it's no one's ever interested in going the extra mile. And forget about the extra mile. Just going the mile. Especially people who work in institutions where there isn't much checks and balances. We'll leave it to one's imagination. If there's nobody on top of you, you're not going to work. Finish. Very rare is there a person who just, I do it because I have to be honest. Who's honest anymore? It's the alma de shikr. It's a world of falseness, right? Where people will do what they can to make money, but not to work hard. They don't want to work hard. That's the whole ethic. That's the whole ethic now of relaxation and leisure and comfort. I'm comfortable. Comfortable means I don't work. And I still want to get paid and get very upset if your boss says, how come you're not working? What do you mean, how come I'm not working? I came in at 10 o'clock today. Yeah, but you're paid from 8. I came in at 10. What do you want? I was stuck in traffic. Shkayach. That's still not my issue to pay you for not working. People love to get paid for not working. That's why, you know, never pay people, you know, if you can, you know, yearly salaries. Pay them per diem. Say, I want to see whatever you bring, I'll pay you for exactly what you do. Right? Imagine a guy works on sales, gets paid $100,000 a year just for making calls and not for making any sales. Forget it. He's not going to ever make a sale for you. Right? Same thing here. You know, life is hard. And it's hard, but if you work hard and you make the full effort, you can release them. You know, being a good behavior in a prison might be hard. You want to get paroled, that's what you have to do. Alright, there's all these chevra that are inciting you and doing all these kinds of stuff. You know, you can't fight back. You fight back, they say you're a guy who fights, makes trouble. You gotta take the beating and just be quiet. It's hard. You want to get out of jail early, get out of jail early. Same thing over here. It can be removed. You have to make those choices. Now, this is the whole issue with dieting. You know, you can always lose the weight. That's never a problem, right? To lose weight, so for a month or two, you starve yourself, you go on a high protein diet, you lose the weight. So what happens? How do you celebrate? Now we're going to celebrate. We lost the weight. We're going to go to Fressenzeuf. Celebration. We're going to make a party. This whole thing, the whole humanity now is just eating. Just go out there. It's only restaurants. Isn't that what? It's all taiva heaven. That's all it is. You know what you really need to eat. Right? You take some healthy crackers with some vegetables and lettuce and some, you know, and you're fine. You know, you can eat plenty. You can eat a whole bag of lettuce. A shizzle of lettuce. And then it's a problem already because you're becoming a behemoth when you're doing that too. But you can do it. It's hard. It's hard. So that's, you know, it's hard being living up to your potential. You're right. And most people don't. Tanya is not for people who don't want to live up to their potential. But that's how the name of the whole book was. It's a whole, remember, going back to way in the beginning. It's all in the one pasuk. Kikarov alecha adover ma'od. Because what Hashem has asked you is very close. It's very easy. It's close, easy but hard. It's a very easy concept. Just be close to Hashem. Just do L'Shem Shemayim. Finished.
The long, short road.
That's in dieting too, is the long, short road. Behavior modification is the ultimate way of staying healthy. That is the long, short road. If it's possible. You see people live that way. It's hard for you? It's just hard. You know, God protect us. Go live in a concentration camp for 6 years. You'll see how easy it would be to live on a healthy diet of 2,000 calories. You see how easy it would be. And thank God, Hashem hasn't made any holocausts in a while, hasn't put you in jail, it's giving you everything. So your body says, Fressenzeuf, do whatever you can. And so you have to learn to stop. Continuing the Balatanya, the last part of this section. Also the life force in the seminal drops that come out of a person when he's engaged in intimacy in an animalistic way. They didn't sanctify himself with his wife at the time of intimacy. Also, they fall into this same rule, which he didn't talk a lot about. He was mainly talking about meat and wine. But now he's getting into this area briefly. Says the Chassidus Mubaris, Kishem shebachilas hetzer l'shem taiva. Just like when you're eating permitted things. But for a taiva, let me just finish this. Even though the life force of the food temporarily could be 70 years also, has gone into the three klipas that are tameh, when you do real tshuva, it goes back to holiness. Same thing when you're intimate. For taiva, even though it's with your wife and a permitted time and all that, it's halachically okay, but it's just for taiva, where you didn't prepare yourself in holiness the way the Torah says you should. Those drops that came out of your animalistic drive, your redis, lefishah, b'shosh, klipas, smes, they go temporarily into the area of the three tummy klipas. Ach, kesharam shav medarka, when a person says shuva, medarka ro, because of leos over Hashem, gam chiyazu, chazeres, velotusha, the life force in those drops comes back to holiness as well. Same thing applies. Yes?
Now I was going to ask you about this. What do you mean? If you're with your wife, you're holy.
That's not enough to be considered holy. it's permitted.
What do you mean, how do you prepare yourself? What do you mean prepare?
You're not wanted, you know, first of all, you say, I'm doing this l'shem shemayim. I'm doing this l'shem shemayim. I have a mitzvah from the Torah. The Torah says you have to, if you look, you learn in the Rambam, those learning with the Rambam, part of the laws of a man gets married to a wife, he has 10 obligations. Okay? So one of the 10 obligations, for example, is supporting her. You have to give her food and money. I want to know when you tell your wife, here's the credit card, dear, buy what you want. I want to know how much taiva you get out of that. You have a responsibility to make sure she has food and clothing. So you have another responsibility to make sure that she has the intimacy she requires. There's kedusha involved in that. I'm doing this to shame shemayim. I'm doing this for the sake of fulfilling the idea of me and my wife are guf echad, as the Torah says we should be. We're being intimate to have children, etc. All the holy thoughts, and not I'm a bal taiva and I want to have taiva now. I watch in all the movies how they're bali taivas, so I'm better than them. I don't have one night stands. I have a wife that gives me as many one night stands as I want according to halacha. It's the same problem. Just like you can't eat meat just because you want to enjoy the taste of meat, and it's nothing to do with Hashem. So Hashem is in the bedroom. If anything, that's the kachi kadoshim. That's the holiest part of the bedroom. Doesn't mean to say you're not allowed to enjoy it, but it has to be l'shem shemayim. Same thing. It's all l'shem shemayim. And there's all kinds of halachas around that that will determine how l'shem shemayim it is. You know, there's all these halachas. You don't do it when your wife is drunk. You don't do it when your wife's asleep. You don't do it when your wife's unhappy with you. There's a lot of halachas in that area. You know, don't get visions of being, I'm the religious Johnny Depp of the world, whatever. You know, it's just you're having l'shem shemayim thoughts. I'm doing this to be mekayim the mitzvah as the ksuva states that I have to give my wife company, and that the whole intimacy will be different. All intimacy will be different. It'll be one that the wife is taking pleasure in, as opposed to saying, "Ugh, I can't stand it. I want to do it." Blah 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 blah.
You should learn those.
There's interest. Okay, we've covered them in the past. So that's the idea. Okay, so let's go over the kitzur just to review everything we've done the last couple of weeks. Kitzur on Bays, the italicized print. The klipas noga is a mixture of good and evil. And after lahalo so ledargis hakedusha, it's possible to elevate it to levels of holiness. Or you can bring it down to the three unholy klipas. Aliyah ridazu, the elevation or descent, tuluya bekavonas ha'odam, beisi sukabinim of gashim. It depends on the person's intent when he was engaged in these physical activities. So, im kavonas l'shem shemayim, if his intent was for heavenly reasons, arechius hadavar l'kedusha, the essence, the holy spiritual essence, rises. Just like eating fattened meat and aromatic wine. Kidei laharchiv dato, to expand your mind. L'Hashem, l'toros, for Hashem and His Torah. L'kayim v'sizoyenik Shabbos, to fulfill the mitzvah of Shabbos. Then you can elevate it. L'idach, on the other hand, l'achol l'shem ha'nosagubi, eat it just for the pleasure of the body. You're at a schiz ha'machol l'mikirba l'shos ha'klippas l'matzmeos. The essential life force of that food goes to the realm of the three unholy klippas. Amnam, on the other hand, you read a zuhi rak levisha, that descent is only temporary. When you return to avodas Hashem, then you return the life force of this food into holiness, if it was, but still, an impression remains. That's what it means, the expression heter, it's unchained. That the life force of these permitted things are not tied to the forces of evil. Therefore, it can be elevated to Kedusha.
So I'm not sure. And the stuff in the holding pattern, how do you turn it into Kedusha?
You have to do tshuva. You have to change. I'm not a behema anymore.
And once you're not a behema anymore, and you start eating, if you eat it
l'shem shemayim, then it all is released. But still, you'll have to get your carpet whacked out. Your body's still going to have to get whacked out from the impression of all the years of eating that way. Eventually, you'll make it totally.
Does it matter how far in time you are away from when you behaved improperly?
I'm sure the impression gets less. but the impression is still there.
Gets whacked out when you die.
It's chapter 8. That's who's going to discuss in great detail in chapter 8.
It's not like the shots you get during the year. Like,
no, in the grave. In the grave. There's a pain in the grave. That will be explained in Perichas. Okay, now we go to the third section of Perik Zion, Chelek Gimel. Okay. Now he goes back to the things that are Usur Mamish. Okay, now on page Resh Pei. Mash Ein came, but Macholos Asuris, which is not the case with not kosher food. Ubias Asuris, or intimacy that's Usur, which would include even your wife, but if she hasn't gone to the mikvah. Same thing. That's Usur. Shehemi Shalosh Klipas Atmes Legamri. Those are from the three unholy Klipas totally. Hemasurim Ukshurim Bidei Hachitzonim Le'olam. They are tied down forever. Nothing good is ever going to come out of this. Okay. And that obviously, as footnote 53 says, that is with all 365 lo sases in the Torah. Right? All 365 lo sases carry the same issue, that they are all those things. You can never release them. It explains the Chassid Moras. Hakoach v'achiyas ha-nimtsoim v'macholos ha-sur shenachlo b'isur, the life force that's found in prohibited foods that were eaten as they were osur, v'chein ha-chiyas ha-nimtsoz v'tipas ha-zer shel b'isur, and also the seminal drops that are found when a person is intimate in prohibited relationships. And footnote 56 adds, v'chein gam ha-kiyum v'achiyas shel ma'isa ha-odom v'achila o-biyazu, and also the maintenance and the life of the action of the person when he was eating. You did an action. Don't forget, your actions don't disappear. There is the tray food that you ate, and that tray food is always forbidden and is never going to be released. Okay, that's the macholos asuros, and the people that are usher to you, so to speak, right?
Even if you're a bal tshuva and you
try. Hold on, just wait. I gotta explain. Just started.
It's killing me.
There's lots of pages, so hopefully it'll kill you enough, right? And then, but more than that, the action. So now, okay. So the food was treif. But when you ate it, so you ate it, your jowls were working for about 20 minutes. All right. Now that action of eating is an action. Your actions are eternal. They don't go away. They stay with you your entire life. Right? So that action is totally surrounded by the klipas noga, by the three unholy tumas as well. Those actions itself, that's part of you and your existence, which comes back at the end of your life. Hashem brings it all back and shows you how much your life has been part of the world of the three elements of Tumah, that you can't do tshuva on that. We'll see. It's not as simple. We're not finished. He will eventually tell us about tshuva. We have to see what kind of tshuva. So we will see. Just hang on. Just hang on there. There is hope. But it's much more difficult. But your body isn't just the difference between eating kosher food like a fresser and eating tray food not like a fresser. Okay, is that the one is, you're in jail, but you can get parole. The other was, your actions are in jail, and you can't get parole. Okay, so that means your actions can't get parole. You ate treif. So we'll see. But that's pretty bad. Okay, let's continue. Where am I? Me'achar, can you in the Chesmu verse? Because they're totally in the three bad klipas, totally. In the brackets, there's no place to reveal Kedusha anymore. The three negative tumas, that's it. There's no, you can't get out of that area. Permanent jail sentence. The action you did will never be released. Okay? So, 57, footnote 57. Yesh lahadgish, we have to emphasize at this point. Inyan zed, this point, shehanitzus haloki, shebesholosh haklipas tmeis, this godly, remember, it's still a godly source, is keeping these klipas nogas alive as well. It's aser v'kosher besochem, it's totally tied up. It's not because of the essential enclovement of the three unholy klipas. Because the truth is, the klipas don't have the power to rule over the godly force. But rather what? In other words, it's not, these three klipas aren't an independent force outside of God, he's just telling you. Because Hashem made it that the Kedusha is tied up in the klipas. He's just, not even, you think like a Christian now. Ooh, we got the three bad klipas, they're the bad guys, and now they've got you, and once they got you, can't get out. Hashem created it that way. That's all he's saying. Lachain, therefore. Imachal machal aser biglal pikuach nefesh. No, I'm surprised you didn't ask this question, Paul. It's one of your questions. No, what if a person ate food, you know, what was trait, but it was pikuach nefesh, where you were allowed to eat it. The only food in Holocaust was pig.
Yeah, I was thinking about that, actually.
So, and the rabbis allowed it. So, nasa heter gomor. It is now totally permitted. It's a mitzvah to eat it. Because we have an expression, ki apesha asur apesha yidu. We have a Talmudic expression that says, the mouth that says it's prohibited is the mouth that says it's permitted. In other words, if a person will admit to doing something wrong, but in his admission, he's saying that he did something right as well, you have to accept, you're going to accept the negative, you have to accept the positive. So therefore, it's God's mouth who said you can't eat. God says you can't eat pig. It's God, it's not the pig itself that has the three klipas and all that. Hashem said you can't eat a pig. So because Hashem said you can't eat a pig, therefore there are three bad klipas that surround the godly force in it. And Hashem now enables the three bad klipas to surround the pig. But when a God says, I'm telling you to eat the pig right now.
Those klipas don't
exist. So what happens? So those klipas don't exist now on that pig. It's only because Hashem allows the klipa to exist. That's why they say the pig is called the chazir. He will return one day to becoming permitted. Mm-hmm. Whatever that means. But it means Hashem's going to say, you know, I said you can't eat it. But now when Mashiach comes, I say you can't eat it.
Yeah,
so that's the same thing. So now you understand. On Yom Kippur, Hashem said you can't eat it on Yom Kippur. If you can't eat it on Yom Kippur, there's something wrong. That is now in its present state. The three bad klipas surround it. But when Yom Kippur is over, the klipas are gone.
So the klipas go on.
The chametz. Yeah. For 8 days, Hashem says there's a klipas, three bad klipas around this. Yeah. Around this. Now, what's dangerous is that it was allowed the rest of the year.
Right.
That's what makes it dangerous. But he adds in the footnote, "Kamo kein similar mishnamish lavodas Hashem b'dvarim hasurim b'achila umutarim b'ano." How about things that you can't eat, but you're allowed to have hano? There are things you can't eat, can't have hano. Some things you can't eat, but you could have hano. For example, kamo chamor lamasa, a donkey. You can't eat a donkey, but you can own a donkey and you can he can carry things for you. You can have pleasure from a donkey. There is going to be a spark of holiness in it that will be elevated. In other words, take a look at a donkey. If you eat a donkey, it's three bad klipas, you're never going to get anything good out of it. But if I take the donkey to carry all my svarim, because I'm going to another yeshiva, and I can't carry all those svarim by myself, so now you elevated the ability to have pleasure from the donkey, that part of the donkey gets elevated, even though it's enclosed in the three bad klipas. Because the Torah did not forbid the pleasure. Perish, meaning to say, shanitzutz, the spark, osur, v'kosher, bidei asitra, achar, ragdav, achil, v'solol. The spark is only tied down, the godly spark is tied down insofar as eating is concerned. Ve'nu nosun, b'rishus, aklibu, l'gamri, but it's not totally given over to the klipas. So in other words, it's not like the three bad klipas are the complete rulers. They're the jailers. You know, Alcatraz, right? When I think those went to Alcatraz, never got out. That's what Alcatraz was. Stalag 13, right? But if Hitler would call the Stalag 13 and say, let him out. Lo aleinu, such a bad example, but you know, if the warden of Alcatraz says, I don't care, he's going out.
Well, Egypt. It said no one ever got out of Egypt.
Same idea.
Hashem said you're out of Egypt.
Same idea. So, which has a lot to do with this topic. Maybe we'll talk about it next week with Parsha Shmos. But what he's saying is, so God decides how powerful the three evil klipas are. So if it's pig, God says, I give you the power to not release the Kedusha from it. When it comes to Yom Kippur, and it's a sick person. Hashem says, I want you to eat pig on Yom Kippur even. And it's a mitzvah. It's the only thing you can eat in the Holocaust. So Hashem says, I remove your imprisonment, and you can eat it l'shem shemayim, and you can elevate the pig to shemayim. Because Hashem says it's not. So the donkey, Hashem says, you can't eat the donkey. Eat that donkey. There's the three bad klipas will never let you out. But if you want to use the donkey to carry svarim, which I allow, then you can elevate. So part of that donkey can be elevated, and some part of the donkey not. Well, let's go a little bit further. How about the fact that you refrain from eating not kosher food because that's what the Torah says? Look at this. This is incredible now. The pig itself. You go to a pig. Like, oh yeah, I love you. I want to eat you. That doesn't come as a pig. It comes as
bringing home the pig.
Where did I just see it? Bacon. Bacon smells good. If you looked at a pig snout, you wouldn't want to. Here's a piece of pig snout. Here. It was just with 20 flies on it. Eat it. I don't want it. But they bake, fry it, and cook the face with it. It's, you know, sirloin, whatever it is. It's mamish smells amazing, right? So, and then you say, you know what? As much as it's appealing, Hashem said, I can't eat it, and I'm not going to eat it. Then oila hanitza shebehem, the holy sparks of the pigs, elevate. U'mischasidim shrosho. It goes back to its holy root. Even from the three unholy klipas.
Just so now, yeah,
every time you walk by Swiss Chalet, it's Torah says, I can't have it.
Just eat the chicken nest.
Right? No, and then you go right in Fresen's wife in a kosher restaurant. Can you imagine what's going on over there? What's going on with your klipas? You know, you're elevating the pig's klipa and you're taking down the kosher food. into the world of the three klipas noga, you know,
and then so how are you supposed to eat?
We've explained it. You're eating l'shem shema. I'm eating because Hashem wants me to have the strength to be able to serve His avodas Hashem, and therefore I only eat enough. I don't eat that much. Simply, Shabbos is a day. I'll give you an example. It's Erev Shabbos. How do you eat on Shabbos? Right. Right. What is the primary role of Shabbos? What are you supposed to do on Shabbos?
5:30, 6 o'clock.
You're supposed to get close. You're supposed to be close to Hashem. You're supposed to sing praises to Hashem, learn Torah to Hashem, feel at one with Hashem. And if anything, at least this is the one day that we can do everything with Shem Shemayim. That's what Shabbos is. Right? And Hashem says, one of the laws of Shabbos is I want you to enjoy the food that I give you. I want you to taste what I want you to taste, a good taste, even. But once you know it all came from me. That's on Shabbos. But you know you've got to be sitting and learning. So therefore what you're supposed to do is, I've said so many times, first of all, so you don't come to the Friday night table at 6 o'clock like I'm famished. I'm like a chazer. And therefore I go to the minyan. That's the fastest minyan in town, right around the corner. It doesn't have the Kedushas Beis HaKnesses. Right? And let's get through a 35-minute Kabbalah Shabbos Minchamar, blah, 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 blah. Because I'm starving. So, Neimamish, you destroyed your whole davening. You destroyed your whole Shabbos. You took the whole Shabbos. It is like that. And you throw it right into the three klipas. Oh, no, they're singing. Oh, no, it's going to be another 4 minutes. It's the end of the world. Right? Because I'm starving. Right? So what do? You're supposed to honor Shabbos. Take a little taste of the Shabbos food.
Give you the energy.
A little bit. And then you take a little nap so you're not exhausted. And then the biggest proof is after the meal, if you're totally exhausted from fressing and zoifing, your mamash took the whole Shabbos, put the whole Shabbos into klipas noiga. Nobody said they had to fress like a pig on Shabbos. If you have one piece of challah, one piece of fish, one piece of chicken, one piece of kugel, and a couple fruits for dessert, you will not walk away overcarbed that you have to fall asleep. And then you go and sit and learn for a couple hours on a Friday night. Oh, see, then you ate l'shem shemayim.
Real challenges. When you come to these tables that are like for King Henry. You go to a friend's house or even your own house.
So you tell your wife. Tell your wife, go to the kitchen, bring me my portion, please.
And you're sitting there.
And that's the way our parents gave us, right? Friday night. How'd your parents give you the food? This buffet business? I remember every time. My mother gave me what she thought I was going to get. Right? She always gave me more than everybody else anyway. But she didn't. They never gave you a plate where it was like stacked seven layers. You know, they filled the plate, you know. And that's it. You know, that's it. You tell your wife, you say, Marnie, just minimum. Please, that's it. And that's all you have. And don't go back for a second. That's eating L'shem Shemayim on Shabbos. The biggest proof is, are you awake for the rest of the, or Shabbos lunch? Right? You haven't eaten in a while. So your mom's fresh, right? And we do go to sleep. That's it. Rest of Shabbos. What do you mean? After you finish lunch, you should be finishing in time to walk, go back to shul and learn. Or to learn with your kids. Whatever. But not that the eating puts you to sleep. That's mom. You understand what's going on? It's exactly. What's making you fall asleep? It's the fact that it's incarcerated in the three bad klipas. You're in jail. And what's in jail? You're asleep. That's your fall asleep. If eating food makes you fall asleep, that's the most direct, immediate impact of you falling into the three klipas, the unholy klipas. You're so much in those unholy klipas, you can't stop pressing when you look at it, and it puts you right to sleep. So what you have to say is, I got to stop. And that's what Erev Shabbos is all about, doing tshuva. You got to do tshuva. And that's the whole point. You do tshuva on all the fressing and zoifing I did during the week, and doing tshuva on it. That's what you have to do on Erev Shabbos. You have to do tshuva. You go to the mikvah. It's all part of it. Go to the mikvah. Get that tumah out of me. I'm mamish have tumah all over me. So I want to get those klipas out. That's going to spoil my whole Erev Shabbos. That's what your whole Erev Shabbos is. It's not just to do shopping and this and taking care of business. It's taking care of business. Get ready for Shabbos. Okay, Mitzvah Shem, we should be zoicha to a little bit of that.